Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Brought to you by Black Knight, it's the Technology.ie podcast, a special edition from May 20th, 2013. This is Conor Muinichon, and I'm joined on the line as usual by Michaela Nealon. Hi, Michaela.
Hiya, Con.
We've got a special guest this week. Michaela, introduce us to Ken, please.
Sure. Ken Hansen, he's a domain name industry veteran. He's been around for years, been working for Neustar, and now he's focused on his special pet project, which is the .nyc top-level domain for New York.
Welcome, Ken.
Hi, Michaela. Hi, Con. Good to be here today.
Good to have you. You're Director of Business Development and General Manager of the .nyc domain. I'm going to ask you about the .nyc domain in a minute, Ken, but tell us a bit about yourself, first of all.
Well, I've been in the domain name industry since the year 2000 when I joined Neustar, and back then we were pursuing .biz, and we were successful there, and over the years, we've added a number of other TLDs, .us, .tel, .tribal, .co. And we had an initial public offering in the year 2005. I actually left Neustar at that point, and I had a registrar in China with two partners for about 4 years, and rejoined Neustar in 2009 to head the new TTLD program here.
So what kind of business is Neustar essentially? Has it always been involved in domains, top-level domains, or is that a recent enough expertise that you've developed?
Well, when I joined in 2000, the company's two businesses were number portability and number administration for all the telecom carriers in North America. So that biz was our initial entry into the internet and the domain name business. Of course, we've grown quite a bit.
The .biz, tell us a little bit about that. The .biz award, you administer that, or you own that. That was awarded to you by ICANN.
Yes, that was quite some time ago, and the process is very different than this round of new TLDs. Those who were there will remember something called a shopping cart and the board discussion about which TLDs were in the shopping cart and out of the shopping cart. But we were successful in becoming the registry for .biz. We launched that in 2001, and currently has about 2.3 million domains under management.
And you also administer the .us TLD. Now, that's not owned by you, but it's you operate it on behalf of the U.S. government.
Yes, we have a contract with the Department of Commerce to manage .us, and we have both, you know, technical responsibilities as well as marketing and channel responsibilities for .us as well. The way the Department of Commerce puts it, we're the administrator for .us.
Okay. So who is .us? I'm fairly familiar with .biz, Ken, and it's been around for a while. Who's .us for? It's relatively recent, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when we took over .us back in, I believe it was 2003, it was primarily for libraries and public schools, and it was used by a lot of city governments in the U.S., but it was a hierarchical namespace. So, you know, it would be something dot something, you know, dot New York dot US, for example. And that space actually still exists. But when we took over the operation of dot US, we introduced second level names. And of course, the second level space is far more popular. Today we have roughly 1.6 million dot US names under management.
Wow. So, and are these operated by brand names, companies? Who uses .us?
A lot of major brands do use .us. Air France uses .us. Volvo, for example, .us. But primarily, .us is for Main Street types of businesses. You may have seen a recent campaign we call Kickstart America. And there we had a whole video campaign where we're featuring local Main Street businesses. A florist, for example, was one of the videos that we made. So it's primarily targeted at those Main Street, flower shops, and bicycle shops, and that's our primary target right now for that.
So, is .nyc the only application you submitted for the current ICANN process, or have you got a few other dogs in the race, as it were?
We're actually involved in over 350 EPTLD applications. For all but one of those, we're the back end registry. We have two where we have front end responsibility. .newstar, we did apply for our own brand EPTLD, and the city of New York has outsourced not only the back end to Newstar, the technical services, but also marketing, branding, channel, and all the promotional activities that are required as well.
Which brings us really to the main subject we were going to talk about on the show tonight, Ken. So the city of New York, that's .nyc.
That's correct.
Okay. So you're operating that on behalf of the city, is it?
That's correct. They're the applicant. They will sign the agreement with ICANN. They've outsourced all of the management and operational and technical responsibilities to Newstar. So in a sense, they are our customer. Yes, we do have all the same responsibilities, for example, we have in .us when it comes to .nyc.
Okay. So I presume this isn't just for the city libraries and police department and fire department and mayor's office and stuff like this. Who is .nyc actually for? Who does the city want to see register domains in that space?
When .nyc becomes available, we think as early as October this year, it'll be for businesses, organizations, and what the city calls city-affiliated organizations. That would be the city government itself, licensing groups. But, primarily most of the registrations will be by businesses and organizations located in New York City.
If, for example, I'm not based in New York City, but I'd like to sell something to New York City, I'm based here in Ireland, can I buy a .nyc domain, or is that an option?
There is a nexus policy for .nyc. In the initial phases of the launch, right through LandRush, a New York City address is required to register a .nyc domain name. After we get through LandRush and we open up the general availability, companies that sell products and services to New Yorkers or New York businesses will be eligible to register at .nyc.
Okay, and there'll be certain criteria even for those. They'll have to demonstrate some affiliation or some association with the city, will they?
It'll be a self-certification, very similar to what we have in .us. So when you register at .nyc, the registrars will likely have a pull-down menu and they'll ask you in which way to comply with the nexus. As I said before, right through the LandRush phase, that means you're certifying that you self-certifying that you have a physical address in New York City. After the LandRush, you'll be certifying either you have an address in New York City or you sell products and services to New Yorkers.
Okay, so it's initially restricted, and then later on it'll be opened up after the LandRush phase when people have had a chance to stake their claim. Okay.
Yeah, the city took that approach because they do want .nyc focused on New York City businesses and organizations and wanted to give them the first opportunity to register.
Okay, sounds good. Michele, why did you want to talk to Ken in particular this evening? What is it about .nyc that you think is particularly interesting or attractive?
Well, I think, in common with a lot of the GOTLDs for cities and regions and things like that, it says exactly what it is. I mean, .nyc, New York City, it makes sense. I mean, you just look at it and you go, yeah, I know what that is. You don't need somebody to explain to you what the purpose of the extension is. I mean, some of them, I've had people actually have to explain to me, oh, this is what they want to use it for. And you're kind of scratching your head and you're kind of going, oh, really? And then, but if you look at something like, say, .nyc or .paris or .madrid or .london, it immediately clicks. And .nyc has the advantage of being much shorter than, say, .london or .paris. You know, it's three characters long, whereas the others are a minimum of five, which, of course, you know, does make a difference when you have to type it out and use it for lots of different things. I mean, for us as a registrar, New York City, it's massive. I mean, what's the population, Ken? 14 million or something?
Not that many, but there are 8 million residents in New York City, and depending on what source you use, roughly 800,000 businesses located in New York.
And if you what about the actual New York, if you take the kind of greater New York, or what's the total catchment area?
Yeah, that's a good question. The New York City would mean the five boroughs, so that would be Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Staten Island.
Oh, okay. Now, I mean, for us here, you know, New York, for anybody who's Irish, is you know, one of the more important U.S. cities, and there's a lot of Irish expats, both first, second, third, and probably fourth and fifth generation at this stage in New York. So, I mean, for us, it's an extension that kind of resonates with us, I suppose.
It is. I think it... Sorry, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, of course, there is a very significant Irish-American population in New York City. My grandmother, on my mother's side, was an Irish immigrant herself.
I think New York resonates with Irish people and with people internationally for all kinds of reasons. And it's a city that has an identity all of its own, I think, in a particular... It'd be kind of seen, I think, as an international city. Is the city of New York in promoting its own domain, Ken, is this seen as perhaps being a revenue source, as being something that... You know, that we own the brand, we own the name of New York, and it's something that people want to be associated with. It's something that people are going to want to identify with from the point of view of a domain.
But like most cities, the city of New York is interested in promoting itself, growing its economy, growing the number of jobs, attracting tourists as well. And you said it, NYC is a global brand. And the city actually is very sophisticated in terms of how it markets itself. It has a number of online and digital initiatives. The city of New York has an initiative they call the Digital Roadmap. And they very much have, I think, established themselves as one of the leading cities in the entire world in terms of how they leverage the internet and provide access and services and information to the citizens in New York City.
What kind of market research was done for this for the .nyc domain, Ken? Or is that something that was done prior to you and Newstar's involvement?
Well, there was research done. The city, of course, has a wealth of information about the city. But when we responded to the city's RFP, we did a pretty extensive research of our own, and we looked at the types of businesses, types and numbers of businesses that are in New York, what segments they're actually in. We also took a look at, you know, what domain names have been already registered with the term NYC in them, or New York, or any of the borough names in them. So that kind of gave us an initial view of what the potential market might look like. Since then, obviously, we've done a lot more work, and it is shaping how we're going to bring that NYC to market.
I presume one of the market research questions is: Would you buy a .nyc domain?
Well, we did actually conduct surveys, so yes, that would be one of the questions we would ask in those type surveys.
Okay. And there's a positive response there, obviously, goes without saying. We were here before, just before we started recording, Ken, we were just discussing the fact that this is one of the uncontested top-level domains in the current ICANN process. So, you're going ahead with it. It's not subject to any further adjudication or anything like that. So, what can you tell us about the process now? And at what do you have a timeline? For example, at what point will people be able to register .nyc domains?
The .nyc application is in what ICANN calls the initial evaluation phase. Our priority number for the ICANN evaluation was 465. So we expect the evaluation to be completed sometime in the next couple of weeks. And once that occurs and ICANN's comment period on the registry agreement comes to a close, the City of New York would be in a position to sign the agreement with ICANN. We think that will happen before August, but assuming it happens in or around August, we would expect delegation sometime around September, we would then begin the initial launch phase in October.
That's pretty soon. So that will start then with the land rush phase, is that correct?
Well, we would start with what the city calls city-affiliated entities being able to register their .nyc. So this is the city government itself. It's vendors of the city. It's what the city refers to as business improvement districts, and there are a number of other government-affiliated or city-affiliated organizations that would be able to register during this initial phase. These would all be pre-authenticated and would be exact match only registration. So an organization's name, for example, it wouldn't be a generic word.
Okay. And when will that phase will last for how long?
That runs for 45 days. Okay. And then the next phase would take place after the holidays. That would be according to the current draft timeline we have here in January. That would be the sunrise period. The sunrise would run for 45 days, and trademark holders who have their trademarks in the registered and validated with the trademark clearinghouse would be able to register at .nyc. There is that requirement that they also have a New York City address. Again, that would be a self-certification.
And the next phase?
And so that runs for 45 days, and then sometime around March, we would have our land rush phase. This would be any business or organization in New York City. It would require a New York City address that would run for a 60-day period. If there were one applicant for a domain name, the name would then be allocated. If there were more than one, there would be an auction, and the name would be allocated to the winning bidder in that auction. So after the 60-day land rush phase, we would launch general availability. That would take place sometime around the March timeframe. It's at that point that residents of New York are also able to register. And as I was saying earlier, the Nexus policy, the additional category opens up. So businesses that don't have a physical address in New York but sell products and services to New Yorkers would then be able to register in general availability.
How much will it cost?
The registrars will determine the retail price of a .nyc. We would expect, based on the wholesale price, that rates that the retail pricing might range anywhere from $24.99 to $35. So pretty, that's per year, of course. That's very competitive with rates you see in other TLDs in the market today.
Okay. Michaela, you're going to be a registrar. You're going to be selling .nyc domains. You alluded earlier to the population of New York and the status that the city has as a brand and as a center of population and that. How significant do you think it's going to be in terms of business volume?
For who? For us or in general?
For us, for you or in general, whichever you want to...
Well, I mean, I think in general, I would say it could be one of the more successful new TLDs. I mean, assuming that there aren't any major spanners thrown in the works, and I don't mean by Neustar or the City of New York. I mean, I'm talking about the entire new TLD process, if something really goes pear-shaped. I'd say I think it has the potential to be one of the bigger new top level domains. And I think, you know, the way that Neustar are going to be marketing this, I think it could be very successful. For us as a business, you know, there's a lot of Irish companies that have offices in New York. There's a hell of a lot of them. And you know, we do a lot of the domain registrations for Irish semi-state bodies, government bodies, and for, you know, quite large Irish companies that are, you know, very much Irish but with an international focus, as opposed to international businesses that happen to have an office in Ireland. So I can see there being potential there for us. And, you know, in terms of one which I don't need to explain to either my staff or to my customers, you know, the .nyc concept is, you know, it ticks all the boxes for me. And as I alluded to earlier, but some of the new TLDs, it's going to be very, very hard to explain in, you know, 2 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever what it is. With something like .nyc, it does what it says on the tin. It's for New Yorkers. It's for New York. It's for that city. New York is, it's as you say, it's got its own identity. In many respects, it's like a country to itself. Mm. It's much bigger than, you know, it's got an identity that's bigger than, say, the US. I mean, there are other US cities. I mean, Washington, D.C. may be the capital, but, you know, you don't see Aer Lingus offering cheap flights to D.C. You see them offering cheap flights to New York, you know. So I think there's a lot of potential there. I think it's a very interesting one. And it's one, again, which, you know, you don't need to explain it to people. So, you know, if we're going to be hopefully we'll be able to talk to other new TLD people on the show over the next few months. But I thought we'd start by talking to an applicant that, you know, is easy to get your head around.
Now, Ken, I know you have specific responsibility for .nyc, but in terms of this broader, Michaela just mentioned there, the broader process that's going on with ICANN for new TLDs, what do you think is the impact of this going to be? It strikes me that the general public hasn't been aware of it up until now, but as you point out, we're months away from .nyc launch. Other new top-level domains are going to be launched in the same time scale as well. What do you think is the significance of this in terms of the internet, in terms of online activity? How fundamental is it in your view? What's happening right now?
Well, I think it's very fundamental. It's a significant change. Primarily, it offers businesses and organizations an opportunity to register short, memorable names. I believe, you know, there'll be some innovative business models, but primarily this is about branding. It's about marketing. You know, a short, memorable name takes fewer exposures for a consumer or a business customer to remember. Generic words today in a .com space, you know, can be very, very expensive especially for a small business to acquire. You, of course, it's very common for names to be available, generic word at tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions of dollars. And these new GTLDs will provide an opportunity for businesses to register those generic words or to acquire them in the secondary market at much lower cost. So in terms of affordability, like anything else, it's a slight supply and demand. Right now, the supply of, you know, generic words and short, memorable keyword domains is very low. As you increase the supply and you provide choice to consumers, to businesses, the cost is going to be lower, and the end users and the internet users are going to benefit because the domain names will be easier to remember, and navigating the internet, I think, will be easier as well. Some of the new TLDs, NYC being one of them, kind of provides an intuitive, you know, intuitively tells the end user what this domain is about. The internet is no longer just about what you are, but increasingly it's about where you are. And a TLD like that NYC will communicate that intuitively to the end user. And that's being driven largely by local search. It's being driven by mobile. End users are typically looking for something nearby. And if I'm a consumer in New York City and I'm looking for something near my home, something I can walk or drive to, and when I do that search, NYC is going to, you know, intuitively tell the user this is near me. It's a business that I can easily find and get to.
Could this be a stimulus for the online activity and economy in New York City? And if so, are there plans to, how would you go about measuring that, Ken?
Well, the city, of course, pays very careful attention to that. New York City is doing very well in terms of technology companies. There's significant growth, the number of companies, startups, new ventures locating their businesses in New York City. It's quite a phenomena, and you know, it's very exciting what's already happening there. So what we'll do is we'll provide those businesses, whether they're existing businesses or new businesses, particularly those that target or sell products and services to New Yorkers, with the opportunity to brand themselves that way. For major brands, you know, they might use a .nyc for a landing page, for example, a New York City landing page. That would show New Yorkers where their products and services can be bought in New York City, where their store locations are, what events they might be hosting in New York City, if they have involvement in the community, civic or social programs they're involved in or they're sponsoring, they'll be able to feature those there as well. For local businesses, you know, it's as I said earlier, most searches are people looking for something nearby, and local companies in New York will have an opportunity to brand themselves as being located in New York, and that'll make users it'll make it much easier for users to find them.
Sounds exciting. It makes me want to move to New York and buy a .nyc domain almost straight away.
I'll sell you one, Carl. And listen, I'll sell you a hosting package. You can get some nice business email to go with it. Don't you worry.
Really? You do that kind of thing, Michele, do you?
Well, the rumor has it, yeah.
Before we let you go, Ken, listen, I want to say thanks again for joining us this evening and for sharing your story and sharing the news about .nyc with us. Michele mentioned as well, you're also involved with an organization called Help Them Here. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, those who know me know I have a hearing problem myself. I've had it for many years. And you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm able to buy hearing aids, and I've got all kinds of technology to help me here. But there are plenty of folks in the world who don't have they're not able to afford that kind of hearing technology. So I'm forming a new nonprofit organization that will do two things. A, we'll raise money to buy hearing aids for those around the world who cannot afford them. And we're also going to be working on the technology front to drive the cost of hearing technology down to make it more affordable, particularly to those in developing countries who could never think of buying a $3,000 digital hearing aid. So our overall mission is, the way we like to say it is, hearing for all who can. There's no reason why someone should be born and live their entire life as if they were deaf when they could hear, they could have hearing with technology. So it's our mission to ensure that anyone who needs that technology has access to it.
And you've got some pretty heavyweight individuals involved in supporting you, and that Vint Cerf is on your advisory board.
Yes, in fact, we announced that today, and I'm very excited about it. Vint Cerf himself wears two hearing aids, and in fact, Vince's wife was deaf, and she's had two cochlear implants, and hears with those implants. So this is an issue that he cares about very deeply, and I can tell you he's very excited about what we're doing. He's already been very helpful to the organization, and we're honored to have him participating.
Fantastic. Well, we wish you the best of luck with that, Ken, and thanks for sharing that and of course the story of .nyc with us. Helpthemhere.org is the website for that organization, and if there's anything we can do to spread the word, just let us know.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, Ken, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you, McKelly.